This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
President Biden weighs a federal gasoline tax holiday. Plus, four U.S. states hold primary elections today. Could soaring prices tip the scales?
But it's certainly gonna make them think twice when they are filling in their ballot and who they're gonna vote for. It's really voting for or against the current administration at that time.
And why miners aren't spending on new projects despite high prices. It's Tuesday, June 21st. I'm Luke Vargas with the Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. President Biden told reporters on Monday that he is nearing a decision on whether to back a suspension of the U.S. federal gasoline tax. Suspending the 18.4 cents per gallon tax requires action from Congress, but Democratic-led efforts to temporarily pause collection have so far failed to gain traction, with Republican leaders in the House and Senate largely opposing the move. We'll have more on whether gas prices are affecting how Americans vote, including in primary elections being held in several U.S. states today, later in the show. The U.S. House panel investigating the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol will hold its fourth hearing today. The hearing is expected to focus on former President Donald Trump's efforts to pressure state legislators and election officials to alter results of the 2020 presidential election. Among those scheduled to testify today is Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, whom Trump asked to, quote, find 11,780 votes. Trump has denied any wrongdoing connected to the Capitol riot while continuing to falsely claim the election was stolen. Israel is heading for new elections, its fifth in just 3 years, after Prime Minister Naftali Bennett said Monday he would move to dissolve parliament. That announcement marks the end of the most diverse ruling coalition in Israel's history, in which politicians from the center, right, left, and an independent Arab party came together for the first time to form a government. The prospect of new elections gives Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel's longest-serving prime minister, a fresh shot at regaining power. U.S. natural gas exporter Venture Global has struck the first binding deal to supply U.S. liquefied natural gas to a German company, as Germany turns to America to help replace supplies from Russia. Germany's recent support for LNG comes after years in which U.S. companies vying to sell gas into Europe struggled to generate much interest. Last week, Russia slashed gas supplies to Europe as it faces tough economic sanctions in the wake of the war in Ukraine. And JetBlue Airways has upped its offer to buy discount carrier Spirit Airlines, increasing its cash per share offer and strengthening its commitment to divest itself of assets to get regulatory approval for the deal. Spirit was supposed to hold a shareholder vote on a planned acquisition by Frontier Group earlier this month, but postponed it to negotiate with both suitors. WSJ Markets reporter Caitlin McCabe has more.
Either deal from JetBlue or Frontier would create the fifth largest U.S. airline. And both JetBlue and Frontier want Spirit because they both consider it important for their ability to grow and go up against much larger airlines that dominate the industry. And so that's why we're seeing both companies compete in this months-long battle for Spirit.
Spirit's board has said it expects to complete discussions with both carriers ahead of a shareholder meeting scheduled for June 30th. New figures compiled by Bank of America show that while metals prices are up, mining companies aren't spending, keeping supplies tight and magnifying shortages of raw materials. According to the bank, project spending by 10 large miners, including Rio Tinto, BHP Group, and Glencore, is expected to stay at roughly $40 billion this year and next year. For a little contrast, compare that to some $80 billion invested a decade ago. WSJ climate finance reporter Amrith Ramkumar is here with more. Hi, Amrith.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So why are miners spending so little despite high prices for everything from copper and iron to specialty minerals used for things like EV batteries?
It's a very similar pattern to what we've seen in the oil and gas sector. So over the past decade before the pandemic, commodity prices across the board were low. That included oil and gas and also raw materials like copper. And so investors really pressured these companies to cut their capital expenditures, lower spending on new projects, and focus on cleaning up their balance sheets and returning more cash to shareholders. So against that backdrop, miners and commodity producers in general have gotten very conservative. Of course, the big difference is that demand for metals is expected to go through the roof in the coming decades as we transition to a greener economy. And that's not the case with fossil fuel producers.
And what will be the effects if miners don't increase production?
Sure. So we're already seeing this year and recently the cost of everything is up, but that includes solar panels, wind turbines, and all of these core batteries that go into every major renewable project. So now if you start to see the costs of clean energy projects also rising in a meaningful way over time, that's a huge problem. And zooming out again, the big concern is that there just isn't enough material. So people always say there'll be technological innovation, new batteries, new ways of producing more minerals from less, but the math just doesn't add up right now. Another important point is that people right now aren't willing to accept trade-offs. So in a lot of parts of the US and Europe, environmental groups are blocking any type of new mine. And in many cases, the reasons are understandable. But the trade-offs need to happen for us to meet our climate goals. And the mining and metals issues really highlight that very well.
So what is the way out of this?
Overall, it seems like the big solution would be auto companies and governments really increasing pressure on miners and pushing them to increase supply, even though investors aren't wanting them to do that. So it's not just going to be a one-size-fits-all solution, but it's a massive problem that often gets overlooked, and we don't have any time to waste, as you know.
That was WSJ climate finance reporter Amrith Ramkumar. Amrith, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, could high gas prices across the U.S. affect the decisions Americans make at the ballot box? We'll head to a swing district in Virginia to find out after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
A recent poll by the Wall Street Journal and NORC at the University of Chicago showed that 63% of Americans said they were either extremely or very concerned about the impact of higher-than-usual gas prices on their household financial situation. So could that affect how people vote in primaries in several states today, including in Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, and Virginia? WSJ audio reporter Daniela Cheslow visited a swing district in Virginia to find out.
This is a 2008 Toyota 4Runner, and it's probably going to, it's going up to $78.
Lisa Johnson lives here in Virginia Beach, and today she's one of a steady stream of drivers pulling up at this local gas station, even though the price of regular fuel is close to $5 a gallon.
Let me stop it right now, actually, because it's going really high. Oh! So it took me $85 to fill it up.
Johnson's 42. She works in a large nonprofit, and she said she voted for the incumbent Democratic Congresswoman Elaine Luria last election, like most people in this neighborhood. Last week, Luria voted for a House bill that would expand the availability of biofuel in an effort to lower gas costs. But that bill hasn't gone to the Senate, and Johnson says she is tired of waiting for relief.
People came out in droves out of fear, the last presidential election, the last major one. But I just think people are frustrated. People are not delivering. You know, I don't want to hear excuses. I need to see some action.
Luria was one of three Democrats to flip seats during a blue wave that swept Virginia during the Trump administration. But last year, voters picked a Republican governor, and the University of Virginia has rated the second district, Luria's district, a toss-up. A recent redistricting added rural conservative-leaning areas and more Republican voters. Here's political analyst David Ramadan at George Mason University's Schar School of Policy and Government.
The district is a little redder now, and in that scenario, that district is pretty much a toss-up today.
In today's Republican primary, the leading candidate is Jen Kiggins. Like Luria, she's a Navy veteran. Last week on her Facebook page, Kiggins posted a photo of gas prices over $5, and she blamed Democrats in Washington and Luria specifically. She also blasted state Democrats for voting down a three-month gas tax holiday proposed by Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin. Kiggins has raised more than double her closest GOP rival, retired Navy Chief Petty Officer Jerome Bell. He calls himself a MAGA candidate. Ramadan says whichever candidate wins the GOP primary will benefit if prices stay high because voters see inflation as a top issue.
It's certainly going to make them think twice when they are filling in their ballot and who they're going to vote for. And it's not necessarily going to be voting for or against Luria at that time. It's really voting for or against the current administration at that time.
At another gas station in an area of Virginia Beach that voted Republican in 2016 but flipped in the last presidential election, 25-year-old Austin Lapine says he has stopped driving because walking is cheaper.
Yeah, I call it the shoelace express at this point.
Lapine works as a line cook. He says he got a raise recently, which is helping with prices. And he says he'll probably vote Democrat even with the high cost of gas.
You know, eventually it subsides. Eventually it gets back down again.
You think you'll get off the shoelace express?
Yeah, eventually, hopefully. Yeah, just keep working hard, right?
Today he caught a ride with his friend, Evan Bluen. Bluen says he was also cooking for a living until a medical condition made it harder to work. And gas prices aren't the only reason he's feeling the pinch. Times are so tough, he has signed up for food stamps.
Everything that I'm doing right now is like I'm seeing numbers coming out of my pockets.
Bluen says the White House isn't helping.
It's like they're going to say it's a problem, but there ain't nobody doing anything about it, you know?
A recent poll by The Economist and YouGov shows that 51% of voters disapprove of how President Biden is handling jobs and the economy. Bluen says in November, he'll be looking for a candidate who can lower his cost of living. And for him, that will probably mean voting Republican.
That was Wall Street Journal audio reporter Daniela Cheslow in Virginia Beach. And finally, could a self-imposed fine be the solution to writer's block? That is the premise of Tokyo's Manuscript Writing Cafe, which caters to everyone from students working on book reports to corporate warriors with a presentation coming due, all of whom sign up to pay a $22 fee if they fail to meet their deadlines for the day. WSJ Financial Markets reporter Suryatapa Bhattacharya spoke to the cafe's owner, who, despite the cafe operating on an honor system, offers to play a number of different roles throughout the workday to keep customers on track.
Would you like no disturbance, no one to come tap you on the shoulder, or do you want the medium package, which is Takuya-san, shows up every hour with this plate of like individually wrapped rice crackers and candy and be like, this is just a reminder, take a break and make sure that you're doing okay. And then the toughest level, which as he describes it, he turns into a proctor at an exam and he's just there hovering and you don't know when he's going to show up. So you better be working all the time.
And that is What's News for Tuesday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.